hope everyone is having a good day. I know it's not always possible every day to be good, but you can find some place within yourself where the weather is really mighty fine. And it's all about where you look and with what attitude and with a state of hope and faith. And you're going to find some rays of sunshine somewhere, somehow. We come together on Sunday to bring more of those rays of sunshine for you and to activate your faith much deeper than it was before, because it is by faith that all miracles come. It is by faith that we are made whole again. It is by faith that we are healed and we find the next point in our positive destiny. And actually, we only have a positive destiny. That's all there really is. It's just that sometimes we have to get caught up with our duties, our obligations, and the unhappiness of other people around us. And so we have to deal with that. And it feels like things are worse than they really are. Once we pull ourselves out of that and we look down the road with sunshine on the horizon, we know that everything is better than it's showing up to be right now in our life. So I just want to help you have that state of faith. And I won't even call it optimism, because it's a certainty. It's not an imagination. It's not something that we just put out there and hope it will be. It's a certainty. The only uncertainty is when and where will you put your attention on it? And when and where will that attention be strong enough to activate it? Those are the only uncertainties there are. You were created as a child of God in a universe with endless positive potential. And we just get caught up in the world so much that I think I can speak for myself. When life is pretty overwhelming, I put blinders on to the world. I put blinders on to what's going on in my life. And then I forget to take those blinders off when I go into prayer, into thinking about the future for my life, thinking about what I really, really need and want. Forget to take those blinders off. But faith will help you do that. And knowing that you need to do it will help you do that. So we're going to open the doors to our community, because all of you are spokesmen and spokeswomen for the presence of Christ and the grace of God. So I'm going to open the door to Jerome. Hello, my friend.
Well, thank you, Glenda, for the presence of Christ and God and Spirit. And up here in Minnesota, we just got 3 inches of snow, but the universe is still working fine because we just handled it just well, and life is still good. And thank you for the universe of all good possibility with Yeshua there to help us. And blessings on you, too.
Absolutely. Oh, you better believe I'm gonna be right hanging around. And, you know, 3 inches of snow for you up there is a picnic. So.
Yes, it is. It's better than 2 feet.
That's right. And I knew that was going to make you laugh. So we got your blessing of laughter. And yeah. Have a wonderful rest of your day, Jerome. And to your family, your wife,
you.
Your friends. Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. All right. My friend Rick, you're on.
Hi. First of all, I never think to ask for blessings. There's something I want to share with everyone, but I would like to ask for a blessing for my wife, Lori, today. The hospital has been unusually challenging for a number of reasons. I won't take too much time up to explain, but I appreciate the blessing. And one of the things I wanted to share, because this is the time when all this negative energy is transmuting and surfacing so it can be purified. And what I noticed myself getting caught up with this week is I got into a couple situations that were I'll just call them very, very low frequency with a couple other people that just irritated me. And I forgot to go back to my divine spark because I got so caught up in the moment of the low frequency that I couldn't propel myself. I didn't think to propel myself up to that high frequency. So I would just share with everyone, as you have some challenging times when you get the most irritated for whatever reason, just remind yourself that, you know, to go to that inner higher self, your I Am presence in your heart, and just watch how that situation works itself out, most likely in a much better way than it would have if you don't stop to remind yourself.
Yes. Yes. And I have one magical word to add to that conversation. Pause.
Right, right.
You know, one of the things that I have learned the hard way, like many of my lessons have been, is that negative energy, even though it's going at a slow and low vibration, is very urgent about getting a response quickly from someone or pushing someone quickly into. In other words, it engages the reactive possibilities of other people. So my advice is, if this is going on, first of all, no matter what you think or feel, don't react. Pause. And even if you still can only think of coming back at a lower frequency, it will not be as low as it would have been if you hadn't paused, if you hadn't held yourself back from reacting. And you are more, the you that you are is more in charge after that pause. So it's just a good thing to remember.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
And blessings to your wife. I'll hold her in my heart.
Thank you again.
Okay. All right, Rick. I'm glad you spoke up. Glad you asked for help. All right. Dance off for Arthur? I'm not sure what your name is.
Oh, hi, Linda. It's Jean, and my last name is Danch Arthur, so it's confusing. But my name is Jean.
Yeah.
Hi.
Jean, hi. Oh, yeah, I know you, Jane. My goodness gracious, yes.
Oh, well, first of all, Glenda, I just want to thank you so much. I just am so happy to have found this group. I give my thanks to the group as well. It's just an answer to my prayers to Yeshua, actually, you know, to find like-minded people. So I'm very grateful. And then the funny thing is that Rick's question answered exactly what I was going to ask you. So thank you. So I don't have to take up any more time.
Okay. It's a good universal answer to almost everything going on in the world today.
Oh, isn't it? Oh, it was wonderful.
And you can do that. Just create a little space. And you will find how just that one moment of pausing will defeat the enemy. And I'm not assigning that enemy a personification of any kind. I'm just saying that there are low frequencies of mentality, emotions, actions, and determinations in the world that are, for the most part, just general and highly contagious. Put it that way. And a little pause is like taking your inoculation against all of that.
Yeah, yeah. It's
sometimes just goes away. I have found so many times, everybody, that if negativity of any sort is coming to me and I pause, it tends to go away. Because one thing negativity never wants is to lose. Because it's got no second chance. Negativity has no second chance. If it loses, it doesn't come back. Well, maybe it will come back later in a different form, in a different way, to a different person. But it doesn't want to lose. And that's in it, because it has no foundation of power. The power of this universe is love.
Yes.
The creator of this universe is God.
Yes.
The mechanics of this universe are either, and I think this is a worthy thing to communicate today, with the world still progressing as it is, not recovering as fast as we would like. The mechanics of this universe are actually, I would say, 3.5. And you'll see why I said the half. The first is cause and effect. You'll see that in the physical mechanics of the universe. And Yeshua taught about this in all of his parables, like bread on the water, what you sow, you'll reap, and so forth. Oh, many, many, many parables are all based on cause and effect. And that's from a human perspective as well as a scientific perspective. You want to get the scientific perspective, read the textbooks of Isaac Newton, and then those who followed him, even in the field of relativity, it's just a more refined discussion of cause and effect. Okay? So the first order of business in this universe is cause and effect. Okay. Negativity has no source, which means the only effect it can create beyond itself is one, and that's it. That's it, because it has no source. It doesn't come from anything other than the defective, out-of-kilter originator, okay? Mm-hmm. So it's got no place to go. That's why if you pause or deflect it, most of the time, it will just go away. Now, the second order of the universe is grace. Grace. And that is, the universe is created out of love. And love is harmony. Love is, you know, if you carry it into the mechanical realm, it is harmony. And in the highest realm, it is God. Okay. So above and beyond cause, you can rise above cause and effect. If you're going into grace and you seek the grace to rise, this is why Yeshua led me to create a webinar a long time ago, and it's still available online. It's called The Only Way Out is Up. That's because the law of grace kicks in. Now, the third, which also has and a half to it, the third is there's randomness. Now, God implemented randomness into this universe to provide one opportunity for growth. Opportunity for change. Opportunity for evolution. For progress. Now, this randomness in the universe occasionally does show up in its negative form, in that you're driving in a perfect way on the highway, but somebody has a blowout in their tire. It throws the car across the highway and you have a collision. That's randomity showing up negatively. But just like negativity, it doesn't actually have a follow-through because it's just random. Mm-hmm. Now, you have to guard yourself against randomness in the universe by being wise. And this is where wisdom comes in. Be wise in everything, even on the highway. Don't drive side by side another car going 70 miles an hour. That's when, if something went wrong for them, you might be in trouble. So randomness calls for wisdom. If any of you have ever traded on the stock market, or especially in the commodity market, you know there's a doggone good place for wisdom. And you better check your wisdom card really, really well, because that's where things are very, very wild. Well, that was what I was going to say, and I guess it was the accurate thing to say. Okay. Now, you adopt or you take in a wild or semi-wild animal. And you know that ultimately that wild animal will respond to love and proper care. But until you get to that point and you cultivate their trust, you have to be just a little bit careful, because you could think they're going to be fine. You go up to pet them and you get bitten. So there's randomity you have to guard against. I used to train horses, starting off with the brand new one, even the brand new babies. I started them off at 4 months. They could be just sweet as sugar and decide they want to play with you. But play for them is turning around and kicking you in the leg. So you have to watch out for randomness. But now, the positive side of this, the fact that randomness exists, is that in any situation, you can look for opportunities. And that's the one half I told you about. Okay? That's the 3 1/2. So that really accounts for, really, that's all there is in this universe other than love. And we already know that that would be the big O that surrounds them all. So cause and effect, grace, randomness that we live in. Now, you may have noticed in this world of a lot of negativity, most of those who are exploiting this situation are looking for points of random. That could range anywhere from a terrorist attack to a shooting, to just a family abuse, disagreements, wild fights that split up a family and make an unruly situation. That's somebody exploiting randomness. So you want to look at where that randomness exists and see if you can comb it out with a little bit of love. Don't even focus on the person who's exploiting it, because you can't handle them. They're going to have to make their situation with God. Really, they're going to have to work it out with God. But you can look at the situation, and you can comb out the situation with a little bit of love, a little bit of communication. Call for grace. And the one thing that calls for grace more than anything I know of is faith. Faith. It gives you the courage to rise above a situation. Now, courage is not having no fear. That's not courage. That could be foolishness. Sometimes fear is wise. Fear is just a situation. But courage is rising above it. Rising above fear. Yes. And that takes faith. That takes faith. Well, Jean, I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to express these various little configurations of creation.
Oh, thank you, Glenda. I know how helpful this is for all of us. It's very, very helpful. I give thanks to you. I give thanks to Yeshua. And this, thank you, and the beautiful group as well. Many blessings.
Oh, same to you. And you can thank him most of all. You can look through the New Testament, and everything I said is in there. He taught the apostles everything I just got through teaching you. It was just not in the language of the 21st century.
Okay. Well, I'm great. I'm very grateful for you.
Yeah. So God bless you, and be expecting a wonderful blessing for yourself today.
Oh,
so
thank you.
Wayne, I have not heard from you in a long time. How are you, my friend?
I'm really good, Glenda. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Oh, good. Yeah, you know, I told you last time I was on, I started rereading Love Without End, and this book is still blowing my mind.
I know.
I wanted to thank you for your devotion to, you know, the 20th edition. There's so much clarity in here. And, you know, I found a passage that relates to what's going on with, you know, let's call it the authoritarian principle that seems to be wanting to follow its lead. Mm-hmm. And it's on page 171. Mm-hmm. The heart is your higher intelligence. It says, the moment surrogate power assumes the rights of indigenous power, corruption will begin. Usually, this is implemented by the use of force, mandatory conformity, suppression of rights, and dishonesty. Surrogate power always draws its energy from indigenous power. When this rule is respected and openly acknowledged, surrogate power can be an effective extension of authority. Although, if force and dishonesty have reserved priorities to give the false impression that surrogate power is real power, you then have a situation where the flea is trying to own the dog and enforcing its claim with threats and punishment.
How beautifully that describes our world today, doesn't it?
It really does. You know, I'm on my way to teach in Vancouver next month, B.C., and I was told without a vaccine, I can't go into a restaurant. There are so many businesses that won't allow you in. And I don't know, I just read this and I got a good chuckle from the overview of what's happening, I think, in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yep. True.
The flea is trying to...
The flea is trying to own the dog. Isn't that the truth? And, you know, he saw the future so clearly. We didn't. One of your comments sparked something, a little bit of humor, but also something that I think is relevant about the latest edition of the book. You just said, oh, it's so clean now. Well, I made the same comment when I was getting my home ready to market and we had some serious cleaners come in to clean everything a little deeper than I normally do. And when they finished, I looked at the wood floors in our dining room and I said, oh my goodness, they're beautiful. And they made the comment, well, it's the same floor that was there all along. It's just it looks so much better when it's clean. So that's all I did. Well, Tony and I did it. My beloved friend, Tony. And I know a lot of you miss him so much being on the call, as I do. I thought about him today when I needed a little assistance getting on. I go, Tony, I need your help. But he's in a better place, so it's okay. But he and I cleaned up without changing the content or the words or anything Yeshua said. We just made sure that the commas were all in the right place and the spelling was all correct and the paragraphs began and end exactly where they needed to begin and end. Because you have to remember that this was an oral transcription original. I mean, an oral dialogue between he and I in the beginning. And what happened for me, turning it into a book, was a pretty good analogy, I would think, of how the New Testament was created. Because it was all conveyed orally for... Well, at least 100 years, and in many cases up to 400 years, because it was continually being revised from oral tradition that they thought had something to contribute. And so it wasn't really stabilized until the 4th century. And so you can imagine what it would be like if we could actually get back to the original and just clean it up. I think in some ways that's what Yeshua intended to do with this book.
Well, I feel that when I read it very slowly, I feel his presence in the room. I feel a warmth, you know, like the room is being hugged and there's some sort of cocoon of light transmission. And I know that's from the reborn clarity. And in my mind as well, it's not just external. I've grown a lot in 20 years since I got my first edition. So
sure.
I just want to acknowledge you, you know, for just sticking to the mission and the cause. And because this book is going to last, you know, far beyond our years on the planet. And I love you.
Oh,
for
yeah.
it. Thank you.
Thank you. And I just love being here. And I can't even begin to tell you how much I've grown. I mean, let's face it. I was just recovering from a fire that burned my house to the ground when all of this began to process into my life.
Mm.
That was 30 years ago.
Yeah. And,
really?
You know, that vulnerability turned over a new leaf for you to begin this journey.
Oh, absolutely. Which is a very good example of how negativity can just be banished and it's gone. It doesn't come back. You know, whatever caused that fire in the first place, after it happened and we recovered from it and got on with our life in a positive way, nothing from it ever came back. Negativity doesn't come back unless you bring it back. Because it has no secondary power. And that has a lot to do with the quote you read to everybody, Wayne, about surrogate power. You see, surrogate power has no power of its own. It has to draw its power from something that has real power. And if we don't give it to that which is negative, it can only strike once, and it goes away. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like some of these snakes can only bite once because they drain their venom gland. They can't strike one.
Mm-hmm.
So
you know,
if you just hold the stick out and let them bite the stick, you can walk right by them and you're fine.
You know, I had that experience this morning. I got an email from someone who I met 20 years ago who, you know, was, oh, gosh, it was a venomous email about how I'm haunting this person and I need to clean up my act. And because I've been studying, you know, Jesus every morning with this book and, you know, going into the Sacred Heart, I felt that exact same thing. It's like the email bit the stick, and I just sent love to this person, and I felt a chuckle in my heart, and I just claimed them. Their email is spam, so they don't come back.
Yeah, well, exactly. You know, Wayne, that is what you and I are talking about is the exact logic of forgiveness. Because if something strikes you hard and bad, you have to just don't give it the power to do it again. That's all. And one of the ways you don't have the power to do it again is you don't hate them. Don't hate them. If you hate them, then they'll feel justified to come back. Now they'll have a reason to come back and do it again. Why should you love your enemy? Don't give them a reason to come back and hit you.
They want engagement.
It's not because you're supposed to join forces with your enemy and behave like them and think like them and do like them. It's because you don't want to give them a reason to come at you again. You know, they had one shot. Okay, they had it. Fine. Bless your life. You get on with it over in your place. I'll get on with it over in my place.
And, you know, saving them is way beyond my jurisdiction. That's God's job.
Exactly. Exactly. I think that we sometimes get hung up thinking if we just stay on it with somebody or something, we can fix it. There's an awful lot of things we can't fix, an awful lot of people we can't turn around. It's not your job. It's not your job. You can't do it. That's God's job. That's the angel's job, or Christ's job, or the Holy Spirit's job. You know, God has an arsenal. You know, he's got a whole command team to do that work. And it's better and more effective if that work is done from a higher level. Because what happens is that if we try to change some of these toxic conditions that we get into, they turn around and try to change us because we're in the swamp with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can't do it, but you can pray, can call the angels to come and help this person. It actually, you can actually say, I give you to God.
Exactly.
And I pray that he will find the right way to help you and heal you. So we can be benevolent, yes, but don't jump in the swamp and try to fix it yourself. Don't.
No, because it just makes
even Yeshua
worse.
Did not. Yeah. He didn't. Even Yeshua did not. He would have stayed here and fixed the world instead of dying on a cross if he could have done it. The world was a swamp, and it couldn't be fixed on that level.
Yeah.
And that's basically what his father told him. That's why he died. That's why he resurrected his body. That's why he's here in spirit continually, because the swamp cannot be drained from the bottom of the swamp. It's got to be cleaned out from the top side.
Well said.
Okay.
Thank you.
We got more people to talk. Wayne, it's great hearing from you, and God bless you. Okay?
Love you, Glenn.
Nancy, and love you too. Nancy and Gary, you're on. How's the family?
Nancy today. I want to share, report back, a blessing. Thank you, everybody. Clearly, 100%, the prayers, brought this little gal back to herself, and, I got to watch it, you know, and so thank you, because, I really believe that a miracle happened, and she just came back into her own. It was a little rough patch there, but, so many people were praying for this little girl, and it worked. So, thank you.
How about the new one? Did she come?
Tomorrow morning. She was due Friday, but she's having an induction tomorrow morning at 8. So if everybody wants to throw some loving thoughts there, 8 in the morning, central time, that would be great. So her name will be River Ann. Little River Ann is coming tomorrow.
Oh, how sweet. Oh,
yeah,
that's
but
great.
Thank you, Wayne.
Well, congratulations.
I want to say something, Wayne. We met out there in Sedona. You gave me, I think I got a nice little wrap from you that had some wonderful whales on it or something. But anyway, we had a great time, Glenn. Do you remember that time when Wayne was out in Sedona and we were all together? I don't know if you remember.
Oh, I remember. We had a great time.
But anyway, I love that passage, and I'm really glad you brought it up about surrogate power, because it just always takes me back to, you know, always remembering that, you know, love is primary, and, you know, everything else is that derivative thing when you turn away from it. And I love without end is the best, because you can just open it up anywhere, and I opened it up today, and it says, love opposes nothing but conquers all. You know, love is in the world but not of it. And then when I think about all the fear and what's going on now, it seems that, you know, he said it there, fear abounds in the absence of love. You know, and if we're going to make connections with people and not let them rub us, because, boy, it sure is easy now. So thank you for that reminder about the pause. But, you know, love is the ultimate connection. And there's reasons to be riled up, but then and to fight and to respond and to, you know, but we have to be creative with how we do it. So that, you know, we don't contribute to the whole division thing that's going on.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen. And congratulations. And I'm so happy for you. So
yeah, so thank you. But I did want to, go ahead. I just did want to say thank you to everybody for praying, because it's just such a blessing to see the miracles and the prayers be answered in such a profound way. So thank you.
Oh, yeah.
I love you.
Bye-bye,
I love you all.
Love you, too. Okay. All right. Iman, you are on.
Aloha.
You may need... Hi.
Hi, aloha.
We hear you now.
Aloha. I just would like to say thank you for touching on the subject that is also relating to our situation about, you know, negativity and how to deal with it. And we are dealing with that situation ourselves. And I would like to ask a blessing for our transition as we are looking to move to a new place, because the space we're living in right now is not, doesn't support who we are and our growth. So I ask for a blessing for that, that we find a place that resonates with the love that we are and that supports the love that we are. And, you know, this beautiful and heaven on earth. I've been reading Love, Keys of Yeshua, Glenda, and been reading the chapter on freedom and forgiveness, and you are right. Forgiveness is the only way out into growth and fulfillment and freedom. And Master Yeshua said forgiveness is simply release, so letting go and just, yeah, and letting God, do all of the, yeah, so that's the challenge I'm dealing with right now. Forgiveness is not for the weak of heart, as he said. So it does take so much strength that I would like to be blessed for that as well, for my husband and I, actually. So yes, that's pretty much it.
Okay. Thank you. And God bless you. God bless you on your transition and your move.
Thank you.
That's something I can relate to very, very well. It is almost imminent for me, one way or the other. And I would like to ask for prayers on that same subject. We finally have a really, really interested buyer. I mean, they're looking deep. They're doing measurements. They're having estimators come out. And that's serious when people do that. And I so want, and these people would be so perfect for our home. I so want them to have it. And I'll probably hear something Monday or Tuesday. So if you can remember me in your prayers, it would really be a blessing just to move on down the road and find my next place. But
you are
today with the program.
What? Yeah.
Yes?
You are in my heart. You are always in my heart, in every moment.
Thank you.
You are in my heart forever.
Oh, I know you are. But let's get my home in your heart, too. So it's so loved.
Yeah.
People just
God bless you.
Thank you, my dear. I love you so much. All right.
I
and Susan,
you.
I see. Oh, thank you. And Susan, I see you're on the call. Let me open the gate here.
I want to say hello to you and to the beautiful community that we're in. And I bless everyone, and I'm grateful for Rick for starting us off on this journey of dealing with negativity and everything that everybody said about it. So it just reminded me of, I'm on a 10 women thread that's a texting thing. Gosh, I got into this and I've been trying to get out of it, but nobody wants to delete my name, and that's the only way it can be done. So sometimes it gets crazy, and it got a little crazy the other day, and this one person started a whole lot of negativity, and you know, I found myself like my blood pressure raising and some things I didn't respond to, but nevertheless, it affected me emotionally. And then I said this or that, you know, to try to kind of ease things. And still I was agitated, and it bothered me that I, you know, that I was agitated by this. And then the next thing I found was I injected humor. I started to inject, because it was a ridiculous situation. So I started to play with it, really, you know, on the thread. And that released everything for me, because I started chuckling in my mind about the things I was saying that were just downright humorous. And that released everything. And the funny thing is the person didn't like it too much. You know, that did not go over very well that I made it humorous, you know. And But some of the other people, I was going back and forth with it. It was playful, and it was great. It was so great. And I just thought of that when, you know, Rick brought the whole thing up, and I said, this is good, because the other way, regardless of whether I said anything on the thread and it responded, I knew what I was feeling, and I said, no, I don't want to go that way. I don't want to go that route. And as soon as I didn't even think about it. As soon as it turned into humor, whew, it changed my whole energetics. So that was interesting. I examined that after and went, this was very good. And I like the way I handled it, because a lot of times I'm engaging. You know, I'm with people that want me to engage. And the times when I do, I examine them. I said, why? I said, because I have my own frustrations, and sometimes I want to get into the ring. I said, that's the truth. You know, sometimes I said, but then I have to say, Susan, you know, it's not good.
Yeah.
You got to find another way. You want to get in because you have your own frustrations, so you figure you want to banter, you know, you want to get into that. I said, no, you've done that way too much. And I said, no. I mean, I understood why, but I said, no. And this way was great. I mean, my angels and gods kind of slipped in and said, here's something else you can do. And it was good. I mean, it was so good. It was a great way of dealing with that negativity. So, and then
that's well done, Susan.
Yeah, no, you know what, though? I will say, too, how much time I've been with people that it turns out I'm trying to fix. And then it occurred to me, my God, Susan, you have this compulsive need to make every relationship better. Don't you get it? There are some you cannot. And, you know, whether you just cannot. You just cannot. And
mm-hmm.
and what needs changing isn't them. It's this compulsive need to fix it.
Well,
that's the thing that
it's really good you recognize. Susan, let me talk for a minute. It's really good you recognize that. And that's a really big step forward in anything. To all the things that you discussed today involve points of recognition that you're growing into. And that's a great progress for you. It really, really is. Did you want to also ask for a blessing for something?
No, but I just want to say I want to respond to the Nancy and Judy, and I'm thrilled that, you know, good to hear the news about the baby and and prayers for the coming new girl tomorrow. I will say that, and bless everybody who triggers all of these wonderful thoughts. You know, just blessings for the whole community. You know, for these wonderful sharing.
And
you know, and the
and even those who
that's
don't
enough.
Yes, and even those who don't think they're of speaking, you are speaking because you're part of the collective awareness and the collective desire to be united in a greater understanding. So everyone is contributing
good.
By being who you are and being present. So I want to thank all of you for coming with that kind of curiosity and positivity and faith that brings you into higher communion. And from that higher communion, you make yourself ready to receive a blessing. And you always make
house.
A good contribution, Susan.
For your house to be sold, blessings for you, and your house to the whole transaction to go very smoothly.
Oh, thank you so much, Susan. I really appreciate it. You know, I've had my ups and downs of confidence, but for the most part, I'm moving along in faith that the right thing is going to happen.
Absolutely,
so,
and you will be in the right place as well.
That's still a mystery. I'm sure it will be, but that's still a mystery.
I
don't know.
Prayers
okay.
Unfold.
Thank you very. Thank you very very much.
Absolutely.
All right. Well. Susan, we're going to, I think it's time we kind of wrapped up our conversation, got on with our blessing. So I'm going to open the line to Stormy who's always good at giving our benediction. Hello, Stormy.
Yes, Glenda. A definition of my L-O-V-E. I am a light of vibrational energy.
Indeed you are. That is great. Did you catch that, everybody? He used the digital components of love to create a name for himself. I love it. So thanks, Tony. That's great.
You said Tony. Thank you very much. That's a nice compliment.
Yeah. I did.
And a very proper slip of the tongue.
Oh, my goodness. Well, actually, you know, I was really thinking of how much you and Tony have been assisting me for a number of years on this call. You're almost always here, and I've always relied on you to close the call, and I always relied on Tony to open it. So, I imagine the two of you are still working in harmony.
And that's another point I wish to say. A blessing to the music that we all sing while we sleep, even though we don't know we're doing it or that we hear it, but to musicians like me who bring back those songs in your dreams, we bring that music into reality for you to hear.
That's great. That's great work. Really great work, Stormy. And I'm glad that you did.
I came up with this. I was talking with Eva the other day. She was asking me for some help with her friends, and I just had such a clear impression that you may not know it and don't realize it, but you sing in your sleep. And I says, I think I do too, so I think we'll just have a duo tonight. So let's just hear the whole world sing in their sleep, and that's something I look forward to teach musicians about, how to actually bring forth that song into the world. And, of course, there are already songs that have been written that are in the world, like Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star from Brahms Symphony.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, Stormy,
okay,
that's
let's go
a
to
great
the blessing.
Well, it's a lovely innocent example of innocent perception. And Yeshua says there's much wisdom to be found in innocent perception. And I'll close with a humorous little situation that I dealt with recently, and it was with innocent perception. I was with some very close friends of mine, and they had brought along their 2-year-old little boy, little grandson. Okay. And we were talking about God. And Tommy spoke up. He looked at me and he said, how big is God? And I looked at the fact that Tommy had been playing with some little toy cars, little toy trucks. And I said, do you love little trucks? Oh, they're my best. They're my favorite. I love trucks. I'm going to drive trucks someday. And so I said, okay, Tommy, let me tell you this way. Just imagine a truck bigger than a house, bigger than 10 houses, bigger than the tallest building, but that truck can still ride along the highway and drive over every other truck on the highway. And that truck protects every other truck on the highway so that they can all get home safe. And guess who's driving that truck? And he smiled big. He says, God. And I said, okay, you just remember it that way for a little while until you get a little bigger, and then you'll have different ideas. But that'll
that'll suit you really well for now. And he was just smiling and laughing, and he kept making little jokes with his toy trucks. But he got it. And, you know, I think that that's what Yeshua did with almost all of his parables. He used analogies that were common to Lot. People fished for their dinner. People planted crops. There were vineyards. He always used things that people could relate to, that they liked and they worked with. And he would make them bigger. And he would use examples from common life. So that was just an example of how I put together innocent perception with an example from the life of a little boy. And maybe you'll enjoy it too. So I just pass it on from Tommy to you. And we'll get ready for our blessing now. So it's good to go to a blessing with a spirit of humor. Thank you, Stormy. I loved your message as always. So just relax, everyone. Get really comfortable. Shake your body out, your arms, your legs, your neck, from side to side, front and back, till it's just, you know, it's just a nice little piece of rubber on top of your shoulders. Okay. Then I want you to take some deep, deep breaths. Inhale. Inhale. Deep. And exhale slowly through your mouth. Inhale deeply through your nose. Why do you inhale through your nose? Well, because it will also go up to include your sinuses. Your sinuses, as well as expanding your diaphragm. It will get to every airborne pocket in your anatomy. So inhale through your nose. And once your diaphragm is expanded and you're full as you can be of air, then slowly exhale through your mouth. Why through your mouth? Because it's better at exporting everything it picks up that needs to be eliminated from your airways, or any energy that needs to be expelled. And as you inhale the power of love. As you exhale the value and the cleansing power of release. So concentrate this way while I offer my prayer to Yeshua. Dear Yeshua, we love you with all our heart, with all our soul. We know that our soul is safely in your custody. We know that no matter what happens on this earth, in the physical, our soul is safe with you. We draw many lessons from our connection with you. And so I pray that you would help us just to release the world and be with you in our closest and dearest connection, that we may find answers, that we may find ways of bringing peace and harmony to the world, that we may move forward with grace, and that we may find new and inventive ways to love we had never imagined before. And that we can look out to the world that may be stressed and torn with trouble, and yet see some thread of love in it all, that we may weave together the threads of love and bring to ourselves a blanket for the soul. We thank you for teaching us how to do all of these marvelous and miraculous things. For as you said, we shall do all that you did, and more, because we will do it together. And how much greater can all the children of God be than when we do it together? So in that spirit, we thank you for providing us with this community, with this way of joining with one another and feeling the love
of our fellow citizens in this community and know that together we reach out to touch endless threads of people that are part of our lives. And we create an even larger community that is the recipient of your love, your blessing, your faith in us. And that's a big thing I want to thank you for, is that you actually had faith in us. What a big one that is. And you have faith in our world, even in our most troubled moments, even in conflict that could be on the edge of a world war. You still have faith in us. We are humbled by the faith you have in us. And we ask that you help us be worthy of your faith, and that we make ourselves worthy of what God planted in us as a seed of immortality, as a seed of love to grow and give forth the fruit of life forever. How could we ever thank you enough? How could we ever thank our Father enough? And we thank you on behalf of everyone who doesn't know to say thank you, for we know they will when they discover who they are. We know that they will rise in faith when they discover the love inside them. We know that they will respond with charity instead of hatred when they know that their resources and their wealth is endless. And we thank you for holding on with us until we get that full knowledge, until we spread it out to the world, until we are all that we can be. In your blessed name, we ask these things. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now? Let us begin.
Your blessing has been given. Amen. Amen and amen. Now, open yourself, keep yourself wide open to continue receiving. Go and rest for at least 7 minutes. It's okay if you fall asleep, because you're not supposed to think about anything. Just be in your state of quiet, peaceful receiving. Bye-bye for now. And I look forward to being with you again next week.